The following sermon was delivered by Executive Pastor Reverend Dr. Jonah So in the sanctuary of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. We welcome you to worship with us every Sunday in person or on live stream. For details, go to fapc.org. And now, here's Reverend Dr. Jonah So.
Hear now the word of God from Luke chapter 5, starting with the first verse. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Family of faith, I did a lot of yelling this week, and unfortunately, it wasn't sports related. To be fair, I also said, "Can you please stop yelling a lot to other people in my family?" We're moving tomorrow. Sure, it's to another home in the same town, but it's still a move. It involves packing. There's a lot of tension in our home. For the past 2 weeks, my mother-in-law, who is an angel, has taken up temporary residence with us. It is her joy and mission to feed her family, especially the grandkids and son-in-law. And I have been loving it. But the main reason for her living with us for a fortnight has been to help us prepare for the move. So, we have been living out of boxes during this time because she packed everything while we were at work. I can see why she was such a successful grocery store owner before her retirement. The woman is non-stop. I mean, the concern and worry that she takes on our behalf, translating it to packing and cleaning, is such a beautiful expression of love for her daughter, my Jennifer. Man, if that love has bounds, I could not tell you when or where. It has none. But love does not mean that grandma knows what we need and don't need on a daily basis. She just knows that should be packed away. Countless are the amount of times we have asked the question that started, "Where's the?" with the answer, "It's in one of the boxes." And each time we went to the new home to check on the progress of the work on the floors and the painting, Grandma would make us bring something easily grabbable that she would always leave near the door. So over the 14 days, we added an answer option to the question, where's the? So it will be either, it's in one of the boxes, or, oh, we brought it to the new house. So yeah, the voice volume at my home has been running at max levels, with the exception of Grandma, cool as a cucumber, doing her thing by loving on her family. For me, during this period, the recipient of my loud attention has been Harvey. He'd come home after day camp and ask if we could go fishing. I'd love to go fishing, but we need to pack the house because we're going to move. So I say, please, go to your room, sort out the toys that you will keep and those we'll donate, or go do your summer reading, or practice piano. He always chose the fourth option. He took his rod and tackle, set it up, and cast it in the backyard. The boy placed random objects in the grass and tried to hook it. And for variation, he would tie his toys on the end of his line, cast it, and reel it in, and experience the joy of a fight. I admit, it pained me to see him wanting to fish so badly, but not being able to take him. So I'd say, dude, we need your help packing for the move, and I need you to pack for hockey camp. Stop fishing and help. We will go fishing after the move. And I'm fairly certain I said this to him every day for this past 2 weeks. Man, he just wanted to catch a fish. And I think Peter wanted to do the same. As much as Harvey wanted to do it for fun, each time Peter cast his net into the sea, he wondered if this time it would help pay the bills and put food on the table. Could you imagine what Peter must have felt like after fishing all night long with his team, having caught nothing? Although each cast offers a chance and hope, Peter eventually had to call it and say, that's enough. No more. Let's go home. And he had to cover the bitter taste of coming home early, empty-handed, by repeating the mantra, there's always tomorrow. And because he had to do it tomorrow, and because it's his livelihood, he sat and he cleaned his equipment. Each bit of seaweed that he took off reminded him of his failure. I mean, at least if he had caught fish, he could clean with the anticipation of counting sort of the money that he had made for the day. Instead, he sighed with heavy shoulders, dreading having to answer the question, did you catch anything today? While Peter was dejected and stewing in his self-loathing, Jesus boards his vessel and asks Peter to get back in and pull away a little from the shore. Following such a bad day at the office, I know some of you would probably have not complied to Jesus' request if you had been Peter. But Peter saw that there was a crowd of people clamoring to get to Jesus. In Luke's account, starting in chapter 4, which comes right before our passage today, we are told that Jesus began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. So at this point, Jesus was known and a sort of local celebrity. And Peter understands the situation and offers an assist by doing as Jesus requests. And so Jesus taught the crowds from the boat. Peter had a front row seat to the good word that Jesus shared with the crowd. But you will note, if you read chapter 4, that Luke does not share the content of that good teaching. Rather, Luke focuses on the events that happen after that teaching. You see, Jesus has already imposed on Peter by getting into his boat while he was over there cleaning his nets. Yeah, dude, come, let's go out, please. So if I were to look for a silver lining, at least Peter was able to clean his nets, listening to like a sermon podcast, rather than being just trapped with those voices in his head that just covered him with such ick. But Jesus makes an additional ask. Let's go out to the deep water where you will let down your nets for a catch. And once again, Peter acquiesces to Jesus' bidding. So let me pause here and make some comments. First, let's acknowledge that if you were in Peter's situation, by now, some of you would probably have choice words for Jesus as you turn him down. Get in my boat, and now you want me to go out there? No. Or again, however you choose to speak to Jesus after a bad day in the office when Jesus makes an unreasonable ask. Second, even though Jesus was a rising star in the religious world, he had some detractors and skeptics, namely his hometown people. Among his hometown people, they asked themselves, isn't this Joseph's son? You know, Joseph the carpenter? Yeah, he's the best at doors and windows. I'm sure Jesus learned a thing or two about woodworking from him. But fishing? Fishing was Peter's vocation and trade. What place did a carpenter have telling a fisherman how to fish? The impudence is astonishing here. Third, commentators mention that fishing in New Testament times was done in shallow waters at night. They lit torches that attracted fish, and then they would cast their nets. But here, Jesus asked Peter to head out to fish in deep waters. I don't know, maybe it made sense to Peter then that a carpenter would make such a wacky request to fish. But why submit to it? Fourth, not only was Jesus well known in the region, in chapter 4, Luke actually establishes that Peter knew who Jesus was. On a Sabbath, as people were moved and inspired by Jesus' preaching in a synagogue, Jesus also performed a miracle that really put him on the map. He healed a man of an unclean spirit and thereby astonished the people, not only with his words, but with that act of power. So after church, after that miracle, Jesus went to Peter's house. Coffee hour at Simon Peter's. And at the abode, Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law of a high fever. So he heals at the synagogue after church at coffee hour, he does another healing. So when word and news got around that Jesus was doing an enhanced coffee hour, everyone who knew of someone who was sick sought Jesus out. So that same night, Jesus healed and cured so many people at Peter's house. So having witnessed the healings, especially that of his mother-in-law, perhaps Peter felt he owed Jesus a debt and could repay it by honoring this ask, this odd ask to fish in deep waters. So that makes sense when we listen to Peter's response. Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets. I can practically hear Peter shaking his head and muttering under his breath, there are no fish here. So Peter set sail to the deep waters. In the 2017 docuseries Blue Planet 2, while slowly panning over a vista of dark blue waters in the vast empty ocean spanning hundreds of miles, Sir David Attenborough begins in narration of episode 4 saying, "The world's greatest wilderness, the open ocean. It covers over half the surface of our planet. Here, there is nowhere to hide and little to eat. It's the marine equivalent of a desert." If that were the intro to our story, we would then, after that, cut to a scene of a flurry of fish trapped in nets, and the narration might continue, "But even in the desert, there is an oasis." We read, I don't know, I thought that was a cool David Attenborough thing, but anyways. we read today that they caught so many fish in their nets that their nets were beginning to break. And so they had to signal their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats to the point that they began to sink, these two boats. And Peter's response sort of surprises us. Moments earlier, Peter cleaned his net, wistfully longing for all the fish that got away. And now his dreams have come true. He's made the catch of a lifetime. Yet instead of glorying in the magnificent haul, like, "Oh my gosh, look at this," he immediately turns to Jesus and acknowledges his sinfulness. In that moment, something changed for Peter. This summer, the clergy have been preaching through a series called Water in the Desert. Amid all the chaos and uncertainty in the world, Scripture reminds us how God springs up in every season all around us, even in spaces that might feel like a dry, vast desert wilderness where the challenges of life seem overwhelming. That's why I'm especially thankful for today's passage. It takes place on the water. You know, the precious water that should be life-giving. But instead, in our story, it feels soul-sucking. The very water that we've been talking about. As much as the Lake of Gennesaret is not the open ocean, in today's story, it is very much the marine equivalent of a desert for Peter. That is, until Jesus shows Peter the power of a different way. We have established Peter knew Jesus. Peter heard of Jesus. Peter hosted Jesus. So Peter likely heard Jesus' message, but it didn't register. Luke tells us in chapter 4 what Jesus' message was when at the synagogue, when Jesus unrolled a scroll and read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And subsequently, Jesus declared, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." At this time, Peter likely knew about this Jesus and what he was doing. But Peter was just focused on himself and his situation, understandably. He wasn't trying to be selfish. Peter was simply dealing with his reality and his circumstances. Like Harvey, they just wanted to fish. And because of that, they were blind to the bigger picture. That they're moving homes, that he's going to sleepaway camp. Again, they just wanted to fish. And as such, Peter was unable to see what Jesus was doing. When Jesus takes him into the deep water, and in obedient faith, Peter lets down his net, that unconventional place, that marine desert, provides a catch of fish that opens Peter's eyes. Jesus brings Peter to a strange place, but there meets Peter's need. Peter gets his fish. But in getting what he thought he wanted, what he thought he needed, Peter experiences the power and the meaning of Jesus' ministry. Peter realized he was seen by Jesus. Yeah, he had previously experienced Jesus secondhand through his mother-in-law and having to clean up his home after the mess that they made after turning his home into an urgent care facility. But until now, Peter never had direct interaction with Jesus. To be seen and understood is so powerful that it freed Peter from the life-changing haul of fish. Peter could have taken the fish, become wealthy, and lived comfortably the rest of his days. But the large catch opened Peter's eyes and heart to see that Jesus was offering something more. That's something Peter needed to hear. And when Peter acknowledges this, Jesus invites him into discipleship. You know, sometimes like Peter, we are so focused on our own circumstances that we are unaware or do not care about that which is going on around us. I don't know, like someone who's moving and is obsessed with trying to get things packed so that really what's going on out in the world doesn't really seem to matter, even though theoretically he knows that it does. You're just so trapped in what you are trying to do. I mean, you look at the headlines and you see all that is not going on well in the world, or you intentionally avoid them because you know that. Or again, perhaps you just find it difficult to care because you're overwhelmed with your own circumstances. So I wonder, is it possible that Jesus brought you into these deep waters for a purpose? When we act in faith, Jesus surprises us with a result beyond what we would imagine. Peter experiences that. And Jesus invites Peter and us to follow him. Jesus calls us into discipleship. But what does that mean? Many believers are unsettled by the concept of discipleship. You might have heard phrases like the cost of discipleship, right? You've heard the phrase, pick up your cross and follow me. And it seems daunting due to the fear of what loss you're going to experience or whatever change is going to happen in your life. But what does that really mean? If we look at the scripture, to a fisherman, Jesus says, from now on, you will be catching people. Jesus wants to transform lives and utilize gifts, your gifts, for the kingdom of God. For Peter and the others, his partners, the faithful path was to leave everything and follow Jesus. Is that the demand for you? Possibly, but possibly not. In this story, Jesus doesn't say, Peter, you leave everything, drop it all, follow me. Doesn't say that. He says, Peter, from now on, you will be catching people. And Peter's response to hearing that is, let me leave everything. That's his response and his understanding to Jesus. The invitation is to follow Christ who declared his mission, which is to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, freeing the oppressed, and proclaiming God's favor to the people. You know, at the start of chapter 4, before Jesus even begins his earthly ministry, Jesus is tempted in the wilderness by the devil. The purpose of that temptation was to determine the foundation of Jesus' ministry. What kind of ministry? What would be the focus of Jesus' ministry? The short of it is that Jesus passes all the trials and temptations and keeps the focus of ministry on God's way, the way of the cross. As an alternative to that, Satan, the devil, kept trying to say, hey, feed the people. Make a partnership with me and I'll help you. Do a miracle and let's dazzle and rouse these people. To which Jesus said, I will not build it on that. But when he came out of the wilderness, Jesus learned some useful strategies for his ministry. You see, coming out of the desert, as Jesus was tempted to turn the stone to bread, he did not succumb. Yet, we find that Jesus' ministry, he chose to feed people. Jesus was tempted to unite the world through coercion, but he did not succumb, and instead chose to love the people. And Jesus was tempted to, again, razzle and dazzle people into following him, but he did not succumb. And yet Jesus still chose to do miracles, healing and curing people. In today's passage, Jesus does not demand Peter to leave everything and follow. But Peter decided that the faithful path for him was to leave the industry. And Jesus still speaks the same to us. From now on, you will catch people. Christ invites us to use our skills and talents to further the ministry of God's kingdom. I don't know, man. Catching people is a fearful thing. Because like catching fish with nets, you don't really get to determine what kind of fish you're going to net. The catch will be diverse, reflecting the constitution of the kingdom of God. When you find yourselves in deep waters wondering what you're doing out there, in faith, in obedience, hear what Jesus says. Discern how the Spirit is leading you to act faithfully and act. Come, pray with us on Tuesday, as you heard, over those affected by the flood. Come, feed those who hunger on a Saturday with Meals on Heels. Go and make the call to the person that's on your heart. Do that for the kingdom. Because Jesus uses us and our gifts and abilities to continue that life-changing ministry that Jesus set out to do so many years ago. Will we avail it to him? May it be so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Family of faith, be bold in letting down your nets into whatever deep waters you may find yourselves. So go in peace and serve the Lord. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the companionship of the Holy Spirit be with you and abide with you today and always. Amen.
We hope this sermon has been meaningful to you and given you a measure of hope, encouragement, and good news. If you would like to make a donation to support this audio ministry, please visit fapc.org/give. Thank you and blessings to you on this day.